That's right, friend. I'm so glad that you're here. Come on in. Go ahead and pull up a chair here at the table of fellowship. Welcome to Mark and Friends here on this Thursday, this January 28th. Wow, time is a flying by. 2021. It's Joey Kroll. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to spring. I'm just going to say that out loud. Every winter I feel like an old man. I'll tell you, just kind of grumpy a little bit in my heart. I know I got to work on that. I got to just surrender that. But I love some warm weather, and I'm praying for spring to come a whole lot sooner than later. That is for sure. But I hope you're staying warm, and I hope you're having a blessed week. It's an honor to sit behind this microphone every Thursday and fill in for Mark and Friends. And it's a joy to do it yet again today. By the way, with just a handful of days left in the month of January, be sure to get your January copy of Prime Life Times. Some great articles in it this month. And if you want to find out where you can pick up a copy, maybe you're in East Central Illinois or West Central Indiana, you can pick it up at the Great News Radio Center in Urbana. Or if you're in Central Illinois, you can pick it up at the WLUJ studios in Springfield, or just visit primelifetimes.com to find out where exactly you can get your copy of this month's paper. Well, I'll tell you what, let's just be honest. Here we are, it's 2021. It is extremely difficult to live and stand up for Jesus, especially when no one else is. It's extremely difficult to stand up for Jesus alone. It really is. And so today for Mark and Friends, we're going to take a look at a very relevant passage. And we're going to look at the life of Noah. I'll tell you what, Noah built more than just a boat, dear friend. He stood up and lived for the Lord. Even though he wasn't perfect, he lived for the Lord when nobody else was, and led his family as well. And so today for Mark and Friends, we're going to take a look at the book of Genesis and going to be talking about standing up for Jesus. That comes up right after this here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends.
People wonder about my happy face while I'm walking through a world of hate. They want to know about my singing voice, where I learned to make a joyful noise.
They want to know why I'm calm when everything's wrong, and who taught me how to sing a victory song.
When they ask me how I got to be this way, I look them in the eye and say,
it runs in the family, this joy that keeps me laughing. It's the old time religion, a long family tradition. From the Heavenly Father to all the sons and all the daughters. If you wonder why we're happy, it runs in the family.
If you're wondering what you've got to do to make this joy come alive in you, it's really easy just to look again in the book at some distant kin.
Remember Silas and Paul shook the jailhouse wall and turned it into a concert hall.
By calling his name in the midnight hour, we've got that very same power.
It runs in the family, this joy that keeps me laughing. It's the old-time religion, a long family tradition. From the Heavenly Father to all the sons and all the daughters. If you wonder why we're
joy on the double, and the blood of Jesus Christ flows through my veins.
It runs in the family,
this joy that keeps me laughing. It's the old time religion, a long family tradition. From the Heavenly Father to all the sons and all the daughters. If you wonder why we're happy,
right. The Chosen Ones, and It Runs in the Family, right here for Mark and Friends. Remember that old hymn, stand up for Jesus? Well, it was inspired by the dying message of Doug Lee Tang, who was a young preacher in Philadelphia who was forced to resign from his church pastorate for speaking out against slavery in the mid-1800s. In addition to starting a new church, Tang and other pastors preached revival meetings at the local YMCA during lunch and soon began to attract thousands. And in March of 1858, Tang preached a sermon to 5,000 young men, and 1,000 of them came to Christ. And just a week later, he died from injuries from just a freak accident. And before he died, he was asked if he would leave a message for the other ministers at the revival. And he told them, tell them, let's all stand up for Jesus. And his friend and fellow preacher, Dr. George Duffield, was so touched by those words that he wrote the hymn, stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. You know, friend, we live in a day and age where it's pretty hard to live for Jesus. Difficult to raise your kids in the Lord when sports and everything else is scheduled on a Sunday or Wednesday. It's difficult to raise your kids up in the Lord when the world tries to sway them, conform them, and convert them. And so today we're going to take a look at a man of God who was faithful to the Lord despite the people, despite the culture, despite the generation around him. And today we're going to take a look at Noah, the faithful man of God. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and head on over to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to take a look at verse 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. It says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of the Lord, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. The breadth, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with the lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. Wow. You know, when we look at the life of Noah, let me tell you something, dear friend. He did more than just build a boat. He did more. When we look at his life, we realize, wow, he is a faithful man of God. Let's look really quick at some of the hurdles of Noah. First of all, he raised his family in a time of extreme wickedness. Verse 5 says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intention of thoughts, of the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. Think about that. Every thought, every idea, every motive, every imagination, every deed, every thought was an expression of the fallenness of man and the depravity of man. he had that going on around him. And so he not only tried to live for the Lord and raise his family in a time of extreme wickedness, but friend, there was this is also a time of extreme violence. Verse 11 says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. 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 Extreme wickedness and violence. And I'll tell you what, it is hard to live for the Lord when everyone else is not. It's hard to live for Jesus when the world around you is so, so tempting. Temptation everywhere. It's hard to go this way while everybody is going that way. But Noah was faithful. And so those are some of the hurdles of Noah. But friend, we also see the walk of Noah. Verse 9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. You know, the Bible says he was a righteous man. That does not mean he was perfect. I mean, if you study his life later, you realize he was not perfect. But friend, that means he sought to honor the Lord. He sought to honor the Lord. You know, friend, even in our own strength today, we will still fail when we try to pursue holiness. We're still in the flesh. We're still in the world. Satan loves to trip us up. I mean, even in our pursuit of holiness, we're still going to fail. We're still going to fall short. So the Bible says he was a righteous man. He sought to honor the Lord. But friend, he was also a blameless man. That doesn't mean he never did wrong. This again means he lived a life in such a way where he sought to be blameless before the Lord. Noah wanted to live by God's standards and by God's law because of his love for him. He wasn't just righteous and blameless, but the Bible says in verse 9 that he was righteous and blameless, listen to this, in his generation. That same generation that we just talked about, that same generation that did evil continually in the eyes of the Lord. Friend, Noah remained faithful to the Lord. So we see some of the hurdles of Noah. We see that Noah walked with God, but also we see the witnessing of Noah. You know, you ever hear that's the story of Noah and the ark, like on TV or in a movie? And it always shared Noah was talking about, come on in the ark, come on in the ark. If you want to be saved, there's going to be flood. And you know, if you look at the Genesis account, it's like, where's that at? I don't see that. Well, if you head on over to 2 Peter chapter 2, starting, I think, in verse 5, it's talking about false prophets, false teachers, and judgment. And it says in verse 4 of 2 Peter 2, 4, it says, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Did you catch that? Noah was a herald of righteousness. The word herald means preacher. Think about this, friend. When you study the Word of God, God never sends judgment without first sending a warning. Now, I don't know if Noah had revival meetings telling people about the judgment. I don't know if he had evangelistic rallies each night at the ark. I have no idea, but I'm sure the people watching Noah build this extremely large boat over all those years must have wondered, Noah, what are you doing? What are you building? For Noah, by his actions and most likely by his words, he was a preacher of righteousness. Friend, God never sends judgment without first sending a warning. This was a man who was faithful to the Lord, lived in a godless society, also preached when nobody wanted to listen. This man was faithful to the Lord. And finally, with Noah here, we see, of course, we saw some of the hurdles of Noah. We saw the walk of Noah. We see the witnessing of Noah. But friend, we also see the winning of Noah's family. Look at Genesis chapter 7 And verse 6, Genesis 7, 6 says, now Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came upon the earth, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Friend, when the rains fell and the rest of the world perished, they were saved. His family was saved. See, friend, the greatest accomplishment for a father today, the greatest accomplishment for man today is not how many letters he has after his name. It's not how many books he has written. It's not how much money he's made or how much money he's going to leave for his family. But the greatest accomplishment for any man, any father, any husband is that he would lead his family to Jesus. Friend, when it's all said and done, will your children follow your faith? I know their decision is purely between them and the Lord, but I also know that they may base what they do on what they see in your life. I tell my kids often that my number one concern in their life is not what they do for a living. It's not how much money they make. It's not how big of a house they have, not how fancy of a car they drive. My greatest concern for my kids is that they are following the Lord in their life. My greatest gift that I can leave for my family is not some money in a bank. It's not some insurance policy. It's not some very small royalties from a couple of books I've written. It's not some collectibles I may have. Friend, the greatest gift that I can give and leave my family is a godly heritage. Godly heritage. See, friend, Noah, he did more than just build a boat. He was faithful to the Lord when no one else was. He was faithful to leading his family to the Lord. And he stood for the Lord when no one else would. Friend, we need to do likewise, even if we stand alone.
I am standing beneath your wing. I am resting in your shelter. Your great faithfulness has been my shield, and it makes me want to sing, blessed be the name. Sing praises to your name, O Lord, for you daily bear my burden. Your great faithfulness is my reward, and it makes me want to sing.
We sing.
Send me the name. sing praises to your name, O Lord. For you daily bear my burden. Your great faithfulness is my reward. And it makes me want to sing, blessed be the Blessed be.